Wait just a minute. As many of you know, George, my husband, wrote many stories, many reminiscent stories, and also a lot of what he called doggerel. And this is one of the pieces of doggerel. It's called Mom's Gefilte Fish. And when George's mother came to visit, we often made gefilte fish. And how many out there have made gefilte fish? Okay. Well, we would make it from a string of Lake Mendota perch that George caught and grind it up. And, of course, you had to remove all of the bones. It was quite a process. And George had a lot of humor in his writing, a lot of self-deprecating humor, which I think you'll find in this song. And he used to sing this with the ethnic connection. The Chinese have a yen for pork and noodles. Hungarians cry for goulash night and day. While Germans tout their kraut and apple strudel, paella makes a Spaniard shout, olé. The Poles, they praise their kishka and kielbasa. Lasagna's what Italians most revere. A Russian can't say nyet to borscht or kasha, but there's one food I'll always hold most dear. My mom's gefilte fish, my very favorite dish. Oh, every bite was worth its weight in gold. Though foreign foods are fine, they can't compare to mine. Gefilte fish was perfect, hot or cold. Every Friday noon, my mother toiled. She ground up carrots, onions, and fresh fish. Adding matzo meal, it was all boiled, and finally was crowned with horseradish. On Sabbath Eve, we kids were so devoted to satisfy our inner deepest wish. We'd feast until we practically exploded. Oh, how we loved our mom's gefilte fish. My mom's gefilte fish, it is my favorite dish. Oh, a bite is worth its weight in gold. Though foreign foods are fine, they can't compare to mine. Gefilte fish was perfect, hot or cold. Oh, hot or cold.
Okay, okay. Thank you. We can be sure that that particular song is not being performed as a prelude in any other service this morning. But then Prairie likes to be a little bit different. Welcome. I'm Robin Proud. I'm a member here, and I am on the Membership and Hospitality Committee and one of the Sunday school teachers. Our program today will be presented by a number of our members. At Prairie, we welcome everyone, whatever your religious background, whatever your ethnic background, your abilities or inabilities, your national origin, race, or color. And Guests and visitors will have a chance to introduce themselves later in the program, and we hope that you will do that. For our opening words, we have a quote from Dostoevsky. And then we'll be followed by 1 minute of silent meditation. If you wish to glimpse inside a human soul and get to know the man, don't bother analyzing his ways of being silent, of talking, of weeping, or seeing how much he is moved by noble ideas. You'll get better results if you just watch him laugh. If he laughs well, he's a good man. All I claim to know is that laughter is the most reliable gauge of human nature. Some of you may have missed the story for all ages recently. Aaron and I have, so we're going to do something about that. Aaron?
Is called Company's Coming by Arthur Yorinks. And since the tenuous thread to this program is that we try to be welcoming at Prairie, and today's about humor, so it's a humorous story about being welcoming. On the day Shirley had invited all of her relatives to dinner, and Mo, her husband, was pleasantly tinkering in the yard, a flying saucer quietly landed next to their tool shed. Mo was surprised. Shirley, he yelled. Shirley joined Mo on the patio. Mo, you had to buy that barbecue? It's too big, she complained. Cheryl, it's not a barbecue, Mo said. Suddenly, a small hatch on the saucer opened, and out walked two visitors from outer space. Greetings, they spoke in English. We come in peace. Do you have a bathroom? Stunned, Shirley replied, down the hall and to the left. The foreigners nodded graciously and walked into the house. How could you let them into our house? Mo was upset. Did you see those helmets, those ray guns? They'll vaporize us. Mo was very upset. Shh, they're coming, Shirley whispered. Stay calm, be polite. Maybe we can make friends with them. What a lovely house you have, the strangers commented. What do you call this place? Belmore, Shirley politely answered. The visitors nodded. We're from away, far away, and we've been traveling for years on our way to the next galaxy. How about a sandwich? You must be hungry, Shirley nervously interrupted. Would you like to stay for dinner? Gee, they replied, we'd love to. We'll return at 6 o'clock. The spacemen went back to their ship and flew off. Mo and Shirley ran into the house. Are you crazy? The cousins are coming tonight. Why did you invite them to dinner? Mo asked. They'll atomize us. Belmore, the whole Earth, is doomed, I tell you. Mo was hysterical. Mo, take it easy. They look like nice boys, Shirley said. Come, help me make the potato salad. But Mo had other thoughts. Saying he had to wash his hands, he went upstairs and called the FBI. The FBI called the Pentagon, and the Pentagon called the Army, the Air Force, and the Marines. At 5:45, the house was surrounded. Inside, the cousins sat, panicked. Act natural, Shirley told her relatives. Be nice. So they look a little different. I'm sure they're friendly, she said as she served the appetizers. Don't worry, Mo added. If those aliens make one false move, they've had it. So relax. Mo heard a humming and ran to the window. They're here, he yelled. The doorbell rang. Everyone froze. Cousin Etta fainted. I'll get it, Shirley called. She went to the door. Hello, hello, come right in, she greeted the men from outer space. They were carrying a box. How about a drink? Some soda? Are you tired? It's getting late. If you leave now, you'll miss the traffic. Mo tried to usher them out. So, guys, what's new? Have you been to Venus yet? I hear it's hot in the summer, Cousin Sheldon the loudmouth asked. The spaceman sat. Well, we're on our way to check out a new planet. Our population has grown so quickly that we must branch out and find new places to live. Know what I mean? Sure, we know what you mean, Mo blurted out. An invasion. We're doomed, he whispered to Cousin Harriet. Dinner, Shirley called. Oh, please, before dinner, we have something for you. It'll knock you out. The visitors presented their box. It's a bomb. It's gas. It's a laser, Etta yelled, and then fainted again. Soldiers burst into the house. Tanks pointed their guns. Shirley gingerly began to unwrap the gift. We weren't sure if you had one of these, the men started to say. Shirley interrupted, It's a... The cousins were paralyzed. It's a... Shirley continued. Mo was sweating from head to foot. Oh! Shirley blurted. Etta, Mo, and Sheldon fainted. It's a blender, Shirley declared. And we don't even have one. We thought you'd like it, and it was on sale, the spaceman beamed. Shirley went over and kissed them both. Let's eat, she said. Luckily, Shirley had made extra spaghetti and meatballs. The cousins, the soldiers, the pilots, the Marines, the FBI men, everyone sat down and had a delicious meal, from soup to nuts.
For the song, you have a choice of, if you have the Rise Up Singing book there, or there are also some printed sheets where the print is also a little bit bigger.
We're singing Old Time Religion. It's on page 168, I think.
It's page 74 in Rise Up Singing.
You know what? I think we all have to sing from the same thing because the words are a little different. Why don't you sing from your paper? The words are larger, and
that's where I copied it.
Oh, okay.
I think that's fine. They don't have the.
Okay. The dark words at the top are the chorus. We keep coming back to that. So let's really sing this out. Give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion, that's good enough for me. We will pray to Aphrodite, even though she's rather flighty, and they say she wears no nightie, and that's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. That's good enough for me. We will pray with those Egyptians, build pyramids to put our crypts in, cover subways with inscriptions. And that's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. That's good enough for me. Oh, Odin, we will follow, and in fighting we will wallow till we wind up in Valhalla. And that's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. That's good enough for me. Let me follow dear old Buddha, for there is nobody cuter. He comes in plaster, wood, or pewter, and that's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. That's good enough for me. We will play with Zarathustra, pray just like we used to. I'm a Zarathustra booster. Little harmony and clapping now. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It it's good, not for me. We will pray with those old druids. They drink fermented fluids, waltzing naked through the woods, and they're good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. And that's good enough for me. Hare Krishna gets a laugh on when he sees me dressed in saffron with my hair that's only half on. And that's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. That's good enough for me. I'll arise at early morning when my Lord gives me the warning that the solar age is dawning, and that's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. That's good enough for me.
It reminded me of something I saw yesterday at the mall, at the new Apple computer store. There were some monks in their robes checking out the iPhone. So old time and new time are meeting each other. Do we have some joys and concerns that we'd like to share with our prairie community? Barbara?
Well, the Blacksburg Express really is leaving next Sunday. Two cars, two parents, two grandmas, four kids, and the dog. So if any of you are in the Blue Ridge Mountains or the Shenandoah National Park, come see me. Paula has my address.
Delita and I are back from 3 weeks in the East, Upper New York, upstate New York, Quebec, and points in between. Delita's back home recovering. We had a great time, and we're thinking of moving to Quebec City.
I'm sorry to darken the mood, but I just discovered that a dear friend of mine who's the age of my children has lymphoma, and a bad kind, but there's some hope he'll recover with chemotherapy. And I have another friend the same age who's getting chemotherapy for breast cancer and getting sick every 3 weeks. And so it makes us realize that everything, we live one day at a time, and we'd be grateful for our days.
I have two more cards from Rose and Galen on their trip to Alaska, and they finally are in Bird Creek, where their son lives, Peter, and his wife, and little granddaughter, Iris, and having a wonderful time. They've seen a mother bear with a baby cub on the streets, and anyway, they're having a lovely time. Oh, and also, I'll be gone for a week to California to visit my two brothers, and looking forward to that.
Hi, I've been gone for 3 weeks to 800 miles on the roads of beautiful Wisconsin, and then another week at the UU General Assembly, which this year was held in Oconomowoc instead of Lake Geneva. But it was a beautiful time, but I'm glad to be back. Also, I'm here with my friend Ed Kohlner, who's also a member of First Society.
One correction, you said that was General Assembly. That was MUSA.
Hey.
MUSA stands for Midwest Unitarian Universalist Summer Assembly.
Summer.
Well, I have a joy. My nephew, Patrick Decker, is getting married next Friday night in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So Maya and I are getting on a plane tomorrow at 6:30 a.m. to go down to Chattanooga. And we'll miss next Sunday's service, but hopefully I'll be back the following week. Oh, and Maya will be gone then that week for a week and a half visiting her grandparents in Florida. So she won't be around much, but we've been very busy this summer.
I'm so sad that Barbara is leaving us. We tried to organize a special farewell, but because of the difficulty of scheduling, the uncertainty, we weren't able to do that. So I know everybody will say goodbye to her today. And I, will, among others, will miss you. Barbara was in our circle dinner group, so we got to know her better. on the lighter side, we had a wonderful time at a canoe trip down the Wisconsin River yesterday. It was an absolutely fabulous, stellar day, and it was wonderful. I'll remember it for a long time with good friends. And, and lastly, I'm very worried about the honeybees.
I was just going to talk about the canoe trip, too. I went along, and it was very much fun. It was a nice, beautiful day, and it was a lot of fun to have people around here who came with.
I had another delightful visit, or I should say a visit, from some delightful Unitarians from Philadelphia. And this is all as part of our Unitarian Bed and Breakfast group, which is now called Your Home. And I can't understand that I'm still the only one from Madison who offers this kind of thing, because most people have larger homes than I do. I urge you, those of you who have plenty of space, to get into that. You meet the nicest, most interesting people. Sometimes there's a lemon too, but that happens. But most of the time it's really interesting. And so they just left for to go to Fargo, North Dakota, Billings, Montana, Portland, you know, they're retired and taking a trip. But it's really a nice effort. And I still don't understand why, you know, we have three Unitarian churches here, and I'm the only one. Pat Watkins was in it once for a while, but now I'm the only one again, and I don't know why. Why don't you give it a thought?
Okay, this is a joy, and it was a concern. For years I've been terribly worried about what's happening to our elections. And Ruth opened the door to me that there are other people who care about this, too. She and I are now on a committee that Midge Miller put together to consult. And I have here one of Midge's... what do you call these DVDs? And a DVD that I got through the mail. And we're both going to be out of town for a week. So anybody that would like to use these for a week or so, I'm going to put them on this thing. Well, it would be nice to know who took them. And the other thing is, if you want to see me for what excites me no end, I printed this and then I had Office Depot bind it off the internet. And there's a section in here which I've printed out, five ways that we can have paper ballots that are all five of them are compliant with the Help America Vote Act. And I printed out a bunch of these, and the first four people that show up, I'll give them to you.
All right, and I just wanted to briefly mention that I may have said a month or so ago that my job was being downsized and my last day was July 20th. But during the last week, my boss's boss talked to someone in another department and they sort of created a job where there wasn't one so that I could stay. And it was really an honor for me. Erin is the one who came up with the idea for this program, and she's going to... No, maybe that's not true. The program committee came up with the idea. But Erin has a special reason why she wanted to do this, and she's going to introduce that.
Well, I want to introduce this program by telling a true story of how humor is what caused me to be at Prairie for the past 25 years. I was raised a Catholic in Chicago, and my first two children were baptized as Catholics there. We moved to Madison in 1978. When my oldest was about six, I knew I should be taking him to CCD classes at Queen of Peace, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. Catholics don't teach their children much about other religions, and so I was very ignorant about other religions. So I decided to do some research, and I went to the library and got this big, thick book about all Protestant-type denominations. And they were in alphabetical order, the chapters, and I slogged through, you know, Baptists, Lutherans, and Latter-day Saints. I read all of this, and it was very dry and slow-going. At the end, at the U's, there was a chapter on Unitarian Universalists, and it was so different from the other chapters. It was like a breath of fresh air. It had jokes in it. The quote was, the author said that one church in Denver, one UU church in Denver, put an ad in the newspaper that said they believed in one God at the most. And another church said they prayed to whom it may concern. These sentiments appealed to me, and I laughed. I was amazed to find that a church had a sense of humor, and that is what brought me here. I felt that the author of the book also was glad to be able to write that chapter. But later on, I thought, well, I suppose it's possible that he was actually ridiculing us. But that's not how it seemed to me. To me, it seemed appealing. I'll never know, because a couple of years later, I went to try to find this book in the library, and I couldn't. And I was really sad, because I thought, after having been a UU, to reread that chapter would have been really very interesting, but I couldn't barely remember the title, etc. Went looking for a big, thick red book in the religion section. Didn't work. What brought me to Prairie was that encounter with UU humor. And so I see it as a very positive thing. During this service today, we are going to experience humor. Some is directly related to being a UU through the jokes that we will read. We've already had a performance of a humorous song that gets to be in the program because it was written by a UU, even though it has a lot of Jewish connections. We will hear many UU jokes and some stories. As you are in the midst of this experience, I would like you to be aware of your reactions. UU humor is not without controversy. While jokes are what brought me to Prairie, others worry that we are sometimes too flippant. Several years ago, and that might deter people who are seeking some more deeper spiritual kinds of connections. Several years ago, when I was president of Prairie, we formed a committee, as we always do, to produce a flyer that we wanted to put in the newspaper. And I was strongly in favor of including a cartoon on that flyer. Others were not. But we did include a cartoon. We had asked Mechie to draw one, and it showed a picture of a path, a fork in a road. And this path said, to heaven. And this path said, to a discussion of heaven. And there was a human figure labeled UU halfway down the path to the discussion. So I thought that was a humorous way to show a really basic tenet, basic truth about UUs. But there is certainly room for debate about this topic, and I am looking forward to the discussion later on in this program. Besides relaxing, enjoying the funny, humorous moments to come, also gauge your reactions to some of the jokes and let us know your opinion. I will begin by offering a funny story that happened to me during a service here at Prairie a few years ago. Robin Carre was doing a lay ministry on sex education. I happened to be sitting on that particular Sunday next to Barbara Rames, who is a beloved member of Prairie, who is elderly and now lives in Minneapolis. She has a problem with her hearing. So during the discussion portion of the service, Rosemary Lester was making the point that sexual things are much less puritanical in Europe. She said something like, you turn on the TV in a European country and see bare bosoms all the time. Barbara turned to me and said, what did she say? I then had to say in a rather loud voice, bare bosoms. It gets better. A few minutes later, George Calden, who was in his 80s at the time, stood up and said that he thought men could really benefit from education about how to make love. Most men don't even know where the clitoris is. And Barbara turned to me and said, what did he say? And I had to say in a rather loud voice, men don't know where the clitoris is. Barbara nodded, turned away, and by this time, of course, when I'm saying this, I have a smile in my eyes. So Barbara turned away. The humor of the situation sunk in. She turned back, smiled at me, and patted my knee. Others sitting around us also were probably thinking the same thing I was. Only at Prairie could this be happening. This is a funny place. The other day when I was sitting for a while at the computer looking for jokes online and then copying them to use today, afterward I realized that I was subconsciously censoring when I was choosing these jokes. I realized that also that if we wanted to have a more lively discussion later, I should not do that. So I went back online and I went looking for some of the jokes that I did not particularly like. So I think that there will be a mixture that you will hear, and I will be very interested to hear if you don't like the same ones I don't like or if you like different ones. And so I just wanted to warn you that there will be a mixture, and I would like you to remember to gauge your reaction. Now, we're going to start out with some jokes. Who's got joke one? Wait for the microphone, though. Just stand up. Oh, we're going to have it. Did I skip that? I'm sorry. I did. Okay. We're going to start with a responsive reading, which is in your order of service. Look on the second page, and you will read the parts that are in italics. You might be a UU if, instead of the Ten Commandments, you study the Ten Suggestions. You have ever been in an argument over whether breast milk is vegan. You get mail from committees you didn't know you were on. On Halloween, you explain to everyone the pagan significance of their costumes. Instead of the Bible, you take your day planner to church. Okay, now who has joke number one? You do.
A UU family moves into a new neighborhood. Their little girl finds a new playmate, and they are happily getting to know each other. One day, the playmate says, "We're Episcopalians. What are you?" The UU child thinks for a minute and says, "I'm not sure, but I think we're the League of Women Voters."
Joke two.
A sign at a UU church read, "Bible study after service today. Bring your own Bible and a pair of scissors." And it occurred to me that this had already been done by one of the founding fathers. and he removed the portions of the New Testament that he didn't believe were really spoken by Jesus. And his effort has pretty much survived modern higher criticism.
Number three.
Unitarian Universalists prefer buffet to catered, a UU was saying over coffee hour. What's wrong with catered food? Interrupted another UU, catching only the last part of the conversation. Explain the first. I was referring to theology.
Number four.
It is said that when three UUs are together, among them on any subject, there are at least four opinions.
Five.
Hearing that a great flood was coming, Roman Catholics fondled their rosaries, Methodists joined in prayer. But UUs formed a class to try to learn to live underwater.
Six.
Do UUs ever pray? Only when they think a Democrat is going to lose an election.
Seven.
What do you call a dead Unitarian Universalist? All dressed up and no place to go.
Okay, that's enough for now. There'll be more later, but right now we have a song from Carl.
You have heard this. It was written and will be performed by UUs, so we figured we could shoehorn it into this. Years ago, we were down at Grandma June's house, and we got to talking about why she filtered her tap water. And I remember that in the 80s, when Paula and I lived there in Danville, we frequently, during the spring and summer, have alerts where pregnant women and children were told not to drink the tap water because it was too polluted. It came straight out of the Lake Vermilion, not of the surface water. So we got to talking about that, and then Judy and I sat down and took a familiar melody and wrote this ode to the Danville water, which we're going to perform. It's fairly short, so you have to listen quick. Awesome. Do you want the mic? Maybe you should have the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Got that good old Danville water in my blood. Got that good old Danville water, tastes like mud. Got some atrazine and nitrates, oh, I love to pay them high rates. Got that good old Danville water in my blood. It comes straight out of the river full of mud. They add chlorine and then take out all the crud. And then even when it's snowing through the lead pipes it comes flowing. Got that good old Danville water in my blood. Well, it washes down our breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Makes us strong and wise, it's good for saint and sinner. And it helps to grow our flowers, gets us clean when we take showers. Got that good old Danville water in my blood.
Well, probably the most famous UU humorist right now is Robert Fulghum. I believe that's how he pronounces his name. He became famous for the essay, All I Really Needed to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten, which swept the country about 15 years ago, thanks to the internet and many people passing it around. Teachers started sending it home, and one child who sent it home had a mother who was a publisher who contacted Robert Foljam. And among many other things he's done in his life, he has been a UU minister. The short essay I'm going to read today is about laundry. I'm in charge of the laundry at our house. I like my work. It gives me a sense of accomplishment and a feeling of involvement with the rest of the family, in a way. And time alone in the back room without the rest of the family, which is also nice sometimes. I like sorting the clothes, lights, darks, in-betweens. I like setting the dials, hot, cold, rinse, time, heat. These are choices I can understand and make with decisive skill. I still haven't figured out the new stereo, but washers and dryers I can handle. The bell dings, you pull out the warm, fluffy clothes. Take them to the dining room table, sort and fold them into neat piles. I especially like it when there's lots of static electricity and you can hang socks all over your body and they will stick there. My wife caught me doing this once and gave me that look. You can't always explain everything you do to everybody, you know. When I'm finished, I have a sense of accomplishment, a sense of competence. I am good at doing the laundry. And it's a religious experience, you know. Water, earth, fire, polarities of wet and dry, hot and cold, dirty and clean. The great cycles, round and round, beginning and end, alpha and omega. I am in touch with the great something or other. For a moment, at least, life is tidy and has meaning. But then again, the washing machine died last week. Guess I overloaded it with towels, and the load got all lumped up on one side during the spin cycle, so it did this incredible, herky-jerky, lurching dance across the floor and blew itself up. I thought it was coming for me. One minute it was a living thing in the throes of a seizure, and the next minute a cold white box full of partially digested towels with froth around its mouth, because I guess I must have fed it too much soap, too. 5 minutes later, the dryer expired, like a couple of elderly folks in a nursing home who follow one another quickly in death, so closely are they entwined. It was Saturday afternoon, and all the towels in the house were wet, and all my shorts and socks were wet, and now what? Knowing full well that if you want one of those repair guys, you have to stay home for 36 hours straight and have your banker standing by with a certified check, or else they won't set foot on your property, and I haven't got time for that. So it's the laundromat over at the mall. Now, I haven't spent a Saturday night in the laundromat since I was in college. What you miss by not going to laundromats anymore are things like seeing other people's clothes and overhearing conversations you'd never hear anywhere else. I watched an old lady sort out a lot of sexy black underwear and wondered if it was hers or not, and heard a college kid explain to a friend how to get puke off a suede jacket. Sitting there waiting, I contemplated the detergent box. I use Cheer. I like the idea of a happy wash. Sitting there late at night, leaning against the dryer for warmth, eating a little cheese and crackers, and drinking a little white wine out of the thermos, I came prepared. I got to brooding about the meaning of life and started reading the stuff on the cheer box. Amazing. It contains ingredients to lift dirt from clothes, anionic surfactants, and soften water, complex sodium phosphates. Also, agents to protect washer parts, sodium silicate, and improve processing, sodium sulfate. Small quantities of stuff to reduce wrinkling and prevent fabric yellowing, plus whiteners, colorant, and perfume. No kidding. All this for less than a nickel an ounce. It's biodegradable and works best in cold water. Ecologically sound. A miracle in a box. Sitting there watching the laundry go around in the dryer, I thought about the round world and hygiene. We've made a lot of progress, you know. We used to think that disease was an act of God. Then we figured out it was a product of human ignorance, so we've been cleaning up our act, literally, ever since. We've been getting the excrement off our hands and clothes and bodies and food and houses. If only the scientific experts could come up with something to get it out of our minds. One cup of fix-it frizzle that will lift the dirt from our lives, soften our hardness, protect our inner parts, improve our processing, reduce our yellowing and wrinkling, improve our natural color, and make us sweet and good. Don't try cheer, by the way. I tasted it. It's awful. But my tongue is clean now. Now we have joke number 8.
Joke 9.
For a UU, a tradition is something that was done last year, and a firmly established tradition is something that has been done for the past 2 years. If it has been done for the last 3 years, it is the way we've always done it.
Joke 10. Up front here.
There are very few Unitarians in Wyoming, and recently when one died, the family approached a Methodist minister and asked her if she could perform the service. She said she would be happy to do so, but first, in order to be on the safe side, she had to contact her bishop in Denver for permission. A few days later, she received a reply, "Permission granted. Bury all the Unitarians you want."
All right, next joke. I lost track.
Number 11.
Yep.
For the members of any religion, to have a few doubts is normal. To have many doubts is a crisis of faith. To have constant doubts is a conversion to Unitarian Universalism.
Joke number 12.
My UU drafting professor discussing Yom Kippur. Unitarians don't have any religion of our own, so we borrow other people's.
And number 13.
A little Unitarian Universalist girl was sitting on the curb in front of her house with a sad look on her face. An older lady happened upon her and asked her why she looked so sad. The girl replied, "My kitty cat died." The older woman, trying to be helpful, said to the little girl, "I know you're sad, but right now your kitty cat is with Jesus." The girl crinkled her nose for a second and replied, "What would Jesus want with a dead cat?"
A Unitarian is just a Quaker with attention deficit disorder. And that was a repeat. Yeah.
All right. I have a quote from a very important theological reference, The Simpsons. You may have noticed both Garrison Keillor and The Simpsons refer to Unitarians regularly. There was one Simpsons episode where Bart is with the next-door neighbors of Flanders who are very religious folks, and they're playing a video game called Billy Graham's Bible Blaster. The idea is to convert heathens by shooting them with a holy book fired from a Bible gun. When a heathen gets hurt, he turns into a conservatively dressed man with a halo. So Bart is trying this out. "Got him," he says. "No," the other boy says. "You just winged him. Now he's a Unitarian." And then there's a scene in church where someone steals money from the offering plate. We find out later that it was committed by Bart. And then the pastor shouts, "Everyone, turn around and look at this shocking thing." And Grandpa says, "What is it, a Unitarian?" Now we have a few more jokes. Are we up to 14 or 15 here? 16. Oh, okay.
A visitor to a Unitarian Universalist church sat through the sermon with growing incredulity at the heretical ideas being spouted. After the sermon, a UU asked the visitor, "So, how did he like it?" "I can't believe half the things that minister said," sputtered the visitor in outrage. "Oh, good, then you'll fit right in."
17? 17, I think? Oh, up here.
The White Bear Lake in Minnesota UU congregation used to sell a bumper sticker which said, "It's easier to be born again than it is to grow up."
And 19?
Arguing with a Unitarian Universalist is like mud wrestling a pig. Pretty soon you realize the pig likes it. This was told by Garrison Keillor, but probably did not originate with him.
I want to insert first an observation that I have. You know, we have a special term for two Unitarians that marry. We call it a mixed marriage. Downstairs in the RE class, one of the children, one day when they were doing a lot of drawing, was drawing something, and the teacher said, "What are you drawing?" And the child said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And the teacher said, "Well, nobody really knows what God looks like, do they?" And he says, "They will when I'm finished with my drawing."
All right. Those are the jokes that are out there. Okay. Now we have another selection by George Calden, which Ruth will read for us, a poem.
George and I had a mixed marriage. An atheist married an agnostic. And this is called Heaven's Sake, which George wrote musings while watching a TV video biography of Carl Sagan. "I hope to go to heaven when I die. It's really not too far up in the sky. When I arrive, I'll shout, 'Praise the Lord,' and God will greet me. George, welcome aboard." But watching the biography video left me aghast. Carl Sagan was intoning, "The universe is vast. The Earth's galaxy has billions of stars, and there's billions of galaxies far beyond Mars. So where is heaven out there in the blue? Please let me know, for I haven't a clue. Is it a trillion miles away, a billion-year ride? Who'll be my navigator? Who'll be my guide? Will a band of angels be coming after me? Sweet chariot, will I hop a ride on thee? Or will an Apollo spacecraft transport my soul? And what if it disappears in a huge black hole? Where in the cosmos will St. Peter be? Will he hand me a harp out in infinity? Way out in space, a gazillion miles from here, will I meet my creator? Gosh, but where?"
Now we have some time for discussion. We were concerned we didn't have enough material to fill up the time, but I think we forgot the number one rule of comedy, which is allow time for the laughter.
So this is a time where Susan will come around. If you raise your hand if you have any comments. I believe there was one where we all agreed upon, right? What was the big groaner? I think I heard the most... What? I thought the groaner was the White Bear Lake bumper sticker, which said, you know, growing up, yes. So any comments? Any... Oh, come on, guys. Or any jokes that you have in your repertoire that you'd care to share with us?
I have something from a serious philosopher. This is from Friedrich Nietzsche, Zarathustra. And I think the pun is there in the German as well. He wrote, "The devil is the spirit of gravity. Through him, all things fall." And not by wrath, but by laughter do we slay. Come, let us slay the spirit of gravity.
This was just something cute that was overheard at a prairie potluck, and it was, "Oh, let's get in line quick before the greedy people get here."
I didn't hear that even. What did you do before? Do it again, louder, yeah.
"Oh, let's get in line quick at the potluck before the greedy people get here.
What do you get when you cross a Unitarian with a Seventh-day Adventist? Someone who goes around knocking on doors for no apparent reason.
This is one of my personal favorites. What do you call two atheists with children? Unitarian Universalists.
What do you call a Unitarian Universalist redneck? Sunburned.
So, no serious thoughts about this. Where's the controversy, you guys? Yeah, you're disappointing me with no controversy.
Well, I just wanted to say I can't think of a better farewell from prayer.
Traveling through the Canadian Rockies in a suburban town of Calgary, I believe it was, there was a Unitarian church with a large banner on the side wall, which you could plainly see as you drove through town. We don't do guilt.
This is just a little simple one that heard many years ago. One kid who's UU is talking to another kid, and the second kid says, "Hey, how do you celebrate April Fool's Day?" And UU said, "We don't believe in April Fool's Day." It's very important.
Any more? Any comments about any of the jokes that you could, you know, I know they go by in a rush, that whether you can remember any that didn't appeal to you.
I guess one of the things that always strikes me about UU humor is to me, most of it is poking fun at how hard it is to describe what we do believe. And it is hard. I mean, that's the serious part. It isn't easy for me to explain that to people. And I've talked with my more traditional believing friends who can crystallize their faith into a few nuggets compared to me. And I think if I actually heard some jokes about what UUs do believe, that would really be striking.
I guess I like the one about Unitarian is a Quaker with ADD, because I started going to the meeting house, the Quaker meeting house here in Madison, and it was just way too quiet for me. In fact, I snuck in a book.
I think that probably defeats the purpose there, sneaking in a book. Anyone else?
Does anyone know the joke about the kittens?
I read a lot of jokes these past few days, but I don't remember that one. So the ones that were included that I had to go back and retrieve because I had originally censored them myself were ones that were, that struck me as put downs of another religion. Like the bumper sticker one wasn't in my first pass, but I put it back in. And also ones that just sounded arrogant, like we are on a plane above kind of things, which are funny and which we do think. But not necessarily do we want to broadcast that image, that kind of image.
Can you give an example of one?
I could if I had them all with me, but they're all out there with you. But if you've got one that you think you read that fits that description. But they're ones that just kind of, you know, say that we know better. Well, even the one about, okay, the rosary one, the guy reads the rosary, the flood is coming, how to read the, people read the rosary or they play, but UUs figure out how to live underwater.
And Brian said constant doubts is a conversion to Unitarian Universalist, for
A little bit.
This is a bad one in response to Anne's. The girl turns to the other girl. Are your kittens Unitarians? No, their eyes aren't opened yet.
That was in there, yeah. That's the one you close. Well, I like Garrison Keillor, and in one of his books, and he also put this on the air once, he talks about how the Unitarians came from Boston out to Minnesota, and they were going to teach the Indians about spirituality by doing interpretive dance.
Anyone else, or should we just move on? Okay. You're not going to believe this, but this is the time for our offertory. So if we have baskets to pass, we will pass those while we have a song in a moment. But I also found an offertory joke. Last week, I received a call from the local office of the Internal Revenue Service asking about a member of the congregation. I won't say who. He stated on his income tax return, said the official, that he gave $3,000 last year to your congregation. Is that correct? I answered, I don't have the records here, and I would have to check on it, but I'll say this. If he didn't, he will. So now, as we take up the morning offering, let us give freely, generously, in accordance with what we reported on our income tax.
The song for the offertory is Down by the Bay. Could you raise your hand if you know this wonderful camp, children's, adult song, sort of? Well, the idea, as you see, is that at one line you make a rhyme. Did you ever see a goose kick a moose and so on? And we can certainly sing these, but if you have an idea that you'd like to contribute, if you would just raise your hand, or, you know, so that you can add the words. We already have a volunteer. Great. And if you are really clever, you might think of something that has to do with UUism. I tried. It's really hard. But it goes like this. Pardon me? Oh, I'm sorry. Is that 160? Okay. Down by the bay, where the watermelons grow, back to my home, I dare not go. But if I do, my mother will say, did you ever see a goose kick a moose down by the bay, down by the bay, where the watermelons grow? Back to my home, I dare not go. But if I do, my mother will say, did you ever see a whale with a polka dot tail down by the bay, down by the bay, where the watermelons grow? Back to my home, I dare not go. For if I do, my mother will say, did you ever see a fly wearing a tie down by the bay? Is it me and Maya? Maya, did you have some words? If you think of them, let us know, okay? Down by the bay, where the watermelons grow, back to my home, I dare not go. But if I do, my mother will say, did you ever see a bear combing his hair down by the bay, down by the bay, where the watermelons grow? Back to my home, I dare not go. For if I do, my mother will say, did you ever see llamas eating their pajamas down by the bay, down by the bay, where the watermelons grow? Back to my home, I dare not go, for if I do, my mother will say, did you ever have a time when you couldn't make a rhyme down by the bay?
Do we have any guests or visitors who would like to introduce themselves? And we have the microphone up front here. She'll bring that.
Hi, my name is Alexandra, otherwise known as Alia, and this is my daughter Maya, who's 5 years old, and we're longtime friends of Ruth and George Calden and live on the same street. My grandparents were close friends of theirs, too, and Rosemarie is a friend, too. So we're happy to be here.
Welcome.
Hi, we're Margaret and Jim Carpenter. This is actually our third time here, but our first time in quite a while. We were formerly members of the Unitarian Church in Racine and had tried out the other churches and decided in town here any would be acceptable, but this is closest, and we think that most agreeable to us also. And we had decided quite some time ago that this should be our church. We're finally here.
Welcome.
Hi, I'm J.D. Stevens, and I'm actually from Moscow, Idaho. And I'm visiting my partner in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. So I'm just here very, very, very briefly. But
thank you.
I'll just reintroduce my son, Marlon, who's here. Marlon has been here numerous times and actually presented part of a program here at one time, but he's here again.
Hello, folks. My name's Mark Passman. I think this is about my third or fourth meeting. It'd be nice if somebody could spare like $2 for Buster, so I'll pass.
Now, there is a time for prayer announcements. There are announcements printed in your order of service as well as a calendar. Are there other announcements? Mary.
Well, this announcement is in your calendar that next Sunday we're going to be doing a program on Malvina Reynolds, who was, well, I guess there might be a question about how Unitarian she was. But she has some wonderful songs, and I'm hoping that some people will come up to me afterward and say they want to do some of them so that we have a kind of a thing like this. There will be humor, and we're going to watch YouTube, I think, if we can get it up here, because some of her songs will have a presentation by Malvina on YouTube.
Paula? Oh, I'm sorry.
There's a note in here about Friendly Supper Club. I'd like to know who knows more about that.
Pat Watkins is the one who told us about that.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe someone else here knows about it from the past, too. Oh, just a minute here.
The announcement about the Humanist Union program next Sunday is also in the order of service, and I just wanted to mention that we spent a night with the editor of this Canadian journal, Humanist Perspectives. So if anybody would like to see back issues of this, we have several sample copies here.
There's a correction to one of the announcements in the program. The men's shelter breakfast is not the fourth Tuesday of July. Our time slot has been moved to the Saturday after the first Friday. Oh. So our next shift will be August 4th. and there was a misunderstanding, and another church got our usual slot, but this may work out to the better. I think we can field more people on a Saturday morning than a Tuesday morning. My other announcement is I'm passing around the sign-up sheet. I encourage people to help out making coffee and cleaning up after the service, and if you haven't done it before, I'll be happy to show you the ropes. We do need people for cleaning up, washing coffee cups after the service today, particularly, especially since I don't see Phoenix here. Thanks. Okay, Randy and Rosemary, thank you very much.
No, and Rosemary has an announcement.
I'm actually answering your question about the Friendly Supper Club. Some of the old-timers here might remember Lance Green. Many years ago, he sort of started that as an informal venue for meeting once a month and making an effort to get people of different ethnic backgrounds to get together so that, you know, it was a communication effort. And it went along, and it died down, and it went along. And fairly recently, it has been revived, and indeed Pat Watkins is the one who told us about it, in fact, a couple of weeks ago, and I went. And the only problem was that supper club is they're almost always just whites. And Pat Watkins is often the only minority. So if you have any friends of a different ethnic group, they would love to have you come. And it's just an informal get-together at some chosen restaurants. This happens to be a Mexican one. So that's the history of it. There isn't much to say about it, except that it's an honest effort that goes back, oh, God, I think into the 70s, when Lance Green was still here.
All right, we have for our closing song, and then we'll have some final words from Aaron. But for this song, we actually will be using a standard hymn, which maybe some of us don't know if we were raised Unitarian, but I think we'll be able to follow along, and we can all identify with the words. And then you need the mic here.
Okay, well, you can see that this is to the tune of Holy, 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 but it's called Coffee, Coffee, Coffee. Coffee, 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 praise the strength of coffee. Early in the morn we rise with thoughts of only thee. Serve fresh or reheated, dark by thee defeated, brewed black by perk or drip or instantly. Though all else we scoff, we come to church for coffee. If we're late to congregate, we come in time for thee. Coffee, our one ritual, drinking it habitual, drewed black by perk or drip instantly. Coffee, the communion of our union, symbol of our sacred ground, our one necessity. Feel the holy power at our coffee hour, brewed black by perk or drip or
our closing words are one final joke.
A Unitarian Universalist died, and to his surprise discovered that there was indeed an afterlife. The angel in charge of these things told him, "Because you were an unbeliever and a doubter and a skeptic, you will be sent to hell for all eternity, which, in your case, consists of a place where no one will disagree with you ever again."
Well, greet your neighbors and join us for coffee.